Good morning. We will call the Sussex County Council meeting of June 10th to order. Certainly welcome all the dogs in the house back there. Glad you girls got up early.
Bulldogs.
First thing will be the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. At this time, we have no amendments to the agenda.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Mr. Wilson, any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of June the 3rd. Any corrections, questions on the minutes? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. President. We have two letters of thank you, one from Milford Senior High School and the other one from the Children of Delaware National Guard Youth Camp. Both thanking council for their grants.
Correspondence from council. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is recognizing the Laurel High School girls softball team. We have a proclamation, and we're going to take a picture. Mr. Guy, are we taking the picture inside or?
Try inside first.
Okay. I have a proclamation here that I'll read, and we'll assemble athletes up front. A proclamation to honor the Laurel High School girls softball team upon winning the 2014 D1AA championship. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize Laurel High School's girls softball team for winning the Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association title as state champions for the 2014 season. The Laurel High School girls softball team capped an outstanding season with a championship win over Caravelle Academy, winning by a score of 3-0 during the state championship game on Saturday, May 31, 2014, ending a remarkable 19-2 record season. The Laurel High School girls softball team's accomplishments, it is the second consecutive state title for the Lady Bulldogs. And the softball team played as a formidable opponent in facing teams from across Sussex County, throughout the state of Delaware, and in Maryland during the 2014 season, displaying cooperation, consistency, and character above all else. The Laurel High School girls softball team's accomplishments is a source of tremendous pride for the Laurel School District community and all of Sussex County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends the Laurel High School girls softball team upon winning the 2014 D1AA championship title and proclaims Tuesday, June 10th, 2014, as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor the team's remarkable achievement. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President. Congratulations, ladies.
Side of Mr. Benson and four on this side. Four ladies over here.
Right there. You're good right there. You're not gonna block me, trust me.
Okay. Up here as well. If you could maybe stand behind this young lady here and that young lady over there.
Kind of get all together around here. There we go. There you go. Come on, get up here, girl. There's room. We'll make room. Matthew, we'll go inside.
That's Punch Whaley.
Come on, it.
He's got to
hold that proclamation.
Okay.
Squeeze up a little bit with him. There you go. There you go. We'll be friends. We'll leave here.
Okay, great. Punch
Whaley. How's that, Mr. Guy? That look good? Yeah, but take cover. All that work about it.
Cliff or Biff?
Biff.
Okay,
here
we go.
Good family, too. What's that? My daughter's dead. You got a wife. I went. Hey,
girls, congratulations. Great job. I guess we'll see you back here next year.
That's a household name. I was reading all your calls.
Thank you for your help.
They did great.
It's no wonder they won. That's some good leadership there.
It's very hard to win one state championship. Win two back-to-back is pretty amazing, I tell you, for a small school. It's a lot to be proud of in Laurel. Mr. Lawson.
I also want to mention we did invite the other county championship teams to come out and be recognized, and we were unfortunately unable to confirm them for today, and hopefully we can get them at a future meeting to come out and also share in the tributes.
Yes, thank you. Very much.
Okay. County Administrator's Report for June 10, 2014. Item number one, attached, please find the cost statistics for the fire and ambulance call board for May 2014. There were 15,964 total calls handled in the month of May. Of those 911 calls, 81% were made from wireless phones. Item number two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, White Creek Landing Waterview Court and Fairway Village, Phase 5, received substantial completion effective June 5 and June 6, respectfully. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Brad Whaley. FEMA update or grant update and discussion. Good morning.
Good morning, Council. Thank you for having us this morning. I've got Mike Powell with me from DENREC, and then there's Jeff Shockley from Planning and Zoning. We are here on behalf of the residents of Mallard Lake to request the Council to amend the match requirement for the match for a FEMA grant for the Mallard Lake community under the county's Flood Assistance Grant Program. Our office has been working with the Mallard Lake community for over a year to try to help them through the grant process. This community is about a mile outside of Fenwick Island on Route 54. They have 47 residential buildings and 477 housing units. Four of these buildings on what they call the island, 24 units, have received flooding damage in the past, but during Hurricane Sandy, they received significant damage totaling over $1.2 million. The reason for the request is the unusual circumstances that this is caused. The buildings were built in the 1980s, and they were built to the appropriate flood height. But with extreme damage from Hurricane Sandy, they filed a substantially damaged claim. And this requires, by the county, requires them to bring the new building up to the required base flood elevation, which is 7 feet above mean sea level. It's a combination of the repetitive loss property classification and the substantial damage claim are now causing extreme hardship for the homeowners. The flood insurance rates have just gone up dramatically. This request would allow them to ask for the maximum federal share under the FEMA grant programs. And I've got Mike Powell with me, and he can answer, give some background and details on the program.
Sure. Well, the only thing I wanted to add to what you just said, Brad, is that in 1995, the flood heights for that part of Sussex County were raised by FEMA, which caused these buildings that had been lawfully constructed 10 years earlier to now be 3 feet lower than the required flood elevation. So they became non-conforming when FEMA raised the flood levels. And now, due to their substantial damage during Hurricane Sandy, they are required to raise these buildings to that new flood height. There's a federal grant program that the residents and Brad and our office and the Emergency Management Agency have been working on that could result in a grant application being made to the state and then ultimately to FEMA to try to provide some financial assistance to help them lift these buildings into compliance with the current requirements.
But the question is, at this point, is you can still make those requests, right? Because we're offering 50%, right?
We can.
So nothing's holding that up, right?
No,
it's just the request here is that they wanted the additional funding.
Right. This is a very expensive. The ones we worked with in the past were single family homes. These are 6-unit townhouses, and you're looking at maybe $300,000 to $350,000 a piece. So that matches is very substantial. And that's the reason for the request. It's just a lot of money. 50% of, say, $1.2 million is a pretty big hardship for the homeowners to have to bear.
But let me just add, this isn't unique to this. I mean, throughout all of Sussex County, we have all these non-conforming uses, and this isn't the only group of people that have been impacted, right? So but, I mean,
and I'm, when, maybe I'll let Mike answer
well,
this.
Representative Cole, that's a good question. What distinguishes this situation from the many, many others? And I would say that what really is the difference here is that unlike every situation that I've been involved with in the past, these buildings are under a county code requirement to lift. So this isn't an optional grant application that property owners are making because they would like to have their house raised. This is by being substantially damaged a county and ultimately federal code requirement. So I think that's maybe one of the differences here.
Has this been applied for before?
We did under the Sandy disaster funding, and it didn't go through that application.
It didn't get approved.
It didn't get approved. No, it was stopped before the final.
And why not?
Why happened?
Yeah,
I think. Well, there were several things. There was some back and forth on the estimates. Basically, they just got a contractor to do the estimates instead of an engineer. This time they've gone much further. They've actually hired an engineering firm, so the project is just explained much better. This is a completely different situation than that. Delaware had received like an allocation from the Sandy disaster, and I think the part of it too was the match requirement would be high, and that's a little bit of an issue for when you have 24 different property owners. It's hard to get them all to sign something that said, you know, I'll pay my share of $40,000 or whatever it is. So I think with the combination of just not a really good plan and the fact that the match was a little bit in question, they didn't want to pursue it. So we did some other projects in the county instead.
Probably in plain language here, the county and the federal government had forced these people to raise their homes. And these other people was not really forced up to that point.
Exactly.
So that was an option.
Right.
And this option's not here.
Right.
So these people, when they bought this lot and built these homes, had no idea we was going to come along and say, hey, you're forced to come to our regulations. That makes a big difference, to my opinion.
Exactly. Yes.
Any more questions?
Is there any stipulation in there? Primary home versus second homes, like resort.
There's not in the program that we approved. It probably could be. We should probably go back and revisit that issue. It's pretty.
Do you have a breakdown of how many of these are primary residences?
Mr. Cole has the floor.
I got a. I'm just asking a question.
I don't have a breakdown. I know of probably, I don't know, five or six. And we have Mallard Lake residents here. They're well represented.
There's a block of houses, so.
How many are primary residences? How many are not? Or second homes? For the rest of the people?
May I ask a question? Mr. Cole, that's where a lot of your market comes from, folks that do come here for summertime. Lots of them buy homes from people like you.
Like me?
Like you, realtors.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions? I'm not sure that was a question.
They come full time afterwards.
Okay. You have a motion or something?
I do have a motion. Okay. Yes. Be it moved that Sussex County Council amends the previously established cost share percentage for the administration of FEMA grant mitigation, flood mitigation grants to include properties that qualify as repetitive loss properties and have received substantially damaged claim classifications as determined by FEMA. a property in a repetitive loss category with a substantially damaged claim classification as designated by FEMA shall receive the federal and local share percentage established by FEMA. Be it further moved that the previously established cost share percentage of 50% federal and 50% local for federal flood mitigation grants shall remain in effect. So basically, this is just this one project. Sure. We're not.
And could I ask you, is it going to make a material difference in their outlook for success?
I think it will.
Material
I think it'll make a
difference.
I think it'll make a major difference in their ability to.
And how much of the money will be? How much money will be left allocated to Sussex County if we do this?
Well, this is a competitive grant on a nationwide level. This is not like the allocation that came from the FEMA funding. So there's not an allocation. They're competing nationwide. Uh-huh. I think there was 22 or.
But there's still no guarantee that they'll get it.
Exactly. There's no guarantee. This is a competitive grant.
We'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I mean we have an opportunity to help folks who are. Their homes could otherwise just become unlivable, and I think it's the right thing to do. Yes, it's 75%.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cole.
No, I'm going to stick with the 50%. I think that using tax dollars, other people's money to help people, 50% is very generous. I'd like to have somebody, give me 50% of a cost of helping make some improvements to my property. So I don't think the 75% is excessive, and I think more people will benefit from these kind of generous programs that the government throws out. So it 50% is more money to go around.
Your vote is?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips.
This is a unique situation that has been no fault of the homeowners. And I believe Mr. Whaley and Mr. Powell have done a very good job explaining why this is unique. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, it's on the lines of what Vance said, and I think I explained myself earlier. They have found themselves into a situation that we have forced them into. It's not like their houses are not livable, not that point. The point is, they're according to our standards, the government standards, they're not good enough living. So since we're behind it, then we ought to put some money behind it. So I vote yes.
I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robertson.
You have to follow that.
Quite a response you got coming.
I know.
Here.
Wow, that's good. Feel free to stay.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. I'm here today on a proposed ordinance for discussion and possible introduction. I'll read the title just briefly. It is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 1, by amending the definitions of dwelling single family, dwelling multifamily, and family. Article 1 of Chapter 115 is the definition section of the zoning code. At the outset, I'd like to point out that this was a collaborative effort that had its start from several different points. One of those points was certainly the recent campground applications that came before Sussex County, and it was observed that there was, I think, an unintended distinction between manufactured homes and dwellings under our code about separation distances between campsites and homes. The second sort of start of all this was directed from HUD and others about fair housing, including the recent fair housing training program that the counties participated in. I want to point out that there's been many people involved in drafting and reviewing the proposed ordinance, certainly me, Mr. Moore and Mr. Sharp have been involved in it, Ms. Hansen, who's here today with me, she's been involved, she's certainly taken a lot of lead with regard to the fair housing elements of it. Ms. Nelm, Brandy, and Brad from Community Development, they have been a big help. We've also had Delaware State Housing Authority involved and the Office of State Planning Coordination, and both of those agencies, particularly OSPC, commended our efforts in this regard. So that was nice to hear from them that they thought we were really going in the right direction. The language that's in the ordinance that was in your packets based on federal law for the definition of dwelling and state law, for the groups that can reside in a dwelling. And that having been said, one of the things that we had to be careful about was creating unintended consequences of the ordinance change. As you can imagine, whenever there's a change like this, you have to go through the rest of the code to make sure that by changing one thing, you didn't unintentionally affect three other things down the road. again, going back to the campground issue and the distinction between dwelling and manufactured homes that came up with that, and because there's been a great deal of interest in that particular topic, let me say that this amendment brings manufactured homes back into the definition of dwelling where it should be. There's no distinction between a dwelling and a manufactured home, mobile home, et cetera. So putting that into the context of the campgrounds, this means that in future campground conditional use applications, the campsites must be 400 feet from the nearest dwelling, whether it's a stick-built home, a manufactured home, a barrack-style home, single-wide or double-wide manufactured home, et cetera. So that that distinction won't be there anymore. There are still different treatments of manufactured homes and dwellings in the code. For example, in the MR district, you can have stick-built homes, but not manufactured homes. So those distinctions still stay in the code. That's unchanged. As I mentioned, the definition of dwelling is based on federal law, and that law was also referenced in the consent decree that was recently agreed upon by Sussex County. And then with regard to the term family, that definition, we're not trying to amend that definition so much as just remove it from the code.
So we're not defining family.
We're not trying to define family. And really, in zoning purposes, that's less of a distinction. It's more of just who can live in a home. Mm-hmm. We still say that, obviously, families can live in a home, but we're not trying to define that for purposes of what a single-family residence is or a multifamily residence. Right. So that definition is removed from the code. We're not trying to define it. So what you're left with is stating who can live in a dwelling. And under the proposed ordinance, it's one or two people related by blood or marriage with any number of their children, whether that's natural, foster, or stepchildren, two single parents or guardians with any number of their children, again, natural, foster, or stepchildren, a group of no more than four unrelated people, a group residential facility licensed by the state of Delaware serving 10 or fewer individuals with disabilities on a 24-hour basis, as the term disability is defined under state law, or one or two elderly or disabled persons who own a dwelling, plus one or two people related to them by blood or marriage and their children. So that sort of just spells out who can live in these homes. And again, that came from both federal and state law and directives we'd received and just trends in zoning law and land use law across
the
country.
Excuse me, before you go ahead, folks, mm-hmm. I don't want to lose you as you go up.
Sure.
What do you mean there about who no more can live than four?
Four unrelated.
Yeah, it would just be four unrelated individuals. So if you had a home, okay. Like four okay. tenants in a home, that type thing.
If I ask those questions of a person who wanted to rent a home from me, I think I'd be in trouble.
Well, it's just, you have to draw the line at some place, and that's just one of the categories. If it's four unrelated people, it would be, just four tenants that it's in a home. So
I could ask that of some applicants for a rental home. Are you related to each other? Or
I wouldn't ask that on a rental home. That's more of a zoning question. How many people live in a home as far as the number of people?
But it's housing.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
And if you're not careful, you get into discrimination again. You only ask those that rent, and those that don't rent, and those that live there.
That actually leads to the next point of what we need to address in this, and this is something that we've talked about internally within legal staff, is that because we do want to avoid that possibility of discrimination, the next step is that we need to look at an ordinance that addresses reasonable accommodations so that if there is, five people say that they were in a home that was unlicensed but they had disabilities, they would have an option to go to the Board of Adjustment and seek a variance, and we need to establish the standards for determining what a reasonable accommodation would be for granting that variance. And that applies to not only the number of people that could live in a house, but, the Board of Adjustment, as Mr. Sharp and I have talked about, they see applications for side yard variances, because somebody's disabled and needs a handicap ramp, and they don't have a clear set of guidelines to determine whether a reasonable accommodation exists for that. So that was sort of jumping to the end of my presentation, but that's the next step in this process to do that ordinance, to give guidance to the Board of Adjustment.
Since we're going to legalize these homes and make them all dwellings and they're recognizable, we're not going to be able to charge no more MV tax, right?
No, it doesn't make that distinction at all.
Why not? That's the reason they charge that, so they can park it on that lot and they get their money for it. The state collects it over, what is it, about 5%? How much money is it? It runs in the thousands.
No, and
are you going to vote on this, Sam?
Pardon?
Are you going to vote on this?
I'm listening to the ordinance. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a separate issue, because that's how Department of Motor Vehicles treats the home in terms of whether it's titled by DMV or whether it's...
If it's a title home, it's hard to say it's a regular dwelling.
No, but as I said, DMV treats it whether it's on a chassis and whether it's titled. They still have to go through the Class C process to determine whether it's taxable as a mobile home or not, or a manufactured home or not. This doesn't change that. And as I said, elsewhere in the code, it still talks about manufactured housing not being permitted in
certain districts. Well,
instead
of treat them as, I read the ordinance a little bit anyway, and I understood it as to treat it as a regular dwelling. Mm-hmm. If you treat it as a regular dwelling, you don't collect tax from, I heard the motor vehicle, or motor vehicle don't collect tax. I heard of Georgetown from them.
Yeah, no, but as again,
they don't collect it on regular dwellings.
Yeah.
This is an exceptional home. It's on wheels. So it's a difference of homes. Now, they need someone needs to change the law here somewhere.
Well, I think that would be a separate issue as far as how mobile homes or manufactured homes, I should say, are titled through DMV, which this doesn't touch on.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's something to think about. And I should say on all this, you know, if it's introduced today, it's still because it's a change to the zoning code. It has to go through the public hearing process before planning and zoning, and also certainly county council. So anybody with an interest in it would have an opportunity to speak.
Well, those qualifications that you read off, that's by law anyway. I mean, we're not looking at changing that at this point. We really, that would be a whole other subject,
mm-hmm.
as far as blood relations or married or whatever.
Right.
That's not on the agenda anyway.
Yeah, and for example, the group residential facility, that came from Delaware State Housing Authority. That was their directive to include that based upon the definition of disability under state law.
So it coincides with state law.
Right.
I think it's important to mention that, as Mr. Robertson alluded to, this is the start in a process where the county is taking a look at the zoning code and making sure that it's totally in compliance. This is just the first step, and I'm sure Mr. Robertson's going to be back with other issues, but it's important to take this first step.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing really complicated about this. We're just kind of clearing up some language, right?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Phillips.
What language needs clearing up? Well, that's the problem.
The four unrelated folks, if each one of those four have family that are related to them individually, is that okay?
I think that would fall under the either the two single parents or guardians with any number of their children. Again, natural foster or step. They would go back into that category. So there'd be, you couldn't have four people that are with their four separate children under this.
You only have two.
Yes, two.
Okay.
But we're not working on that, on those definitions at this time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Correct. You have a...
what I will do is I'll read the title again so that it can be introduced again. We don't have an ordinance number yet, but it's an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 1, by amending the definitions of dwelling single family, dwelling multifamily, and family.
I want to care to introduce it. Mrs. Deaver introduces it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for
all your hard work.
Thank you.
Good job.
I know it's not been a short process. Mr. Hal Godwin, let us save up.